White, St. Helena, California, June 6, 1911. Elder J.E. White, Nashville, Tennessee. Dear son Edson, it is some time since I wrote to you. Sometimes I have begun letters that were never finished. They are laid aside and forgotten before they are completed. Since my long trip to the camp meetings in 1909, I have written but few letters. What strength I have is mostly given to the completion of my book on the work of the apostles. For a few days, I have had to give attention to the work of Stonewall Jackson Harris, a surveyor who in the past has made some money and given liberally to the cause. Now he has great plans for buying mines and other property, and is working with all his power to draw our people into his company, to take part in his gigantic speculations. We spent the month of April in Southern California. At Loma Linda, an important council was held. Willie was in meeting early and late. I had freedom in speaking to the students and sanitarium workers several times, and on Sabbath the chapel was crowded by our people at Loma Linda and from neighboring churches. The second Sabbath I spoke at Riverside. Mr. Tremaine, a Seventh-day Baptist, took us over in his automobile, and Brother Claflin took us back to the sanitarium after the meeting. Willie remained to have a visit with Elder Papp from Australia, who is laboring in Riverside, and returned by train in the afternoon. We spent a week at the Paradise Valley Sanitarium. Brother and Sister Charles Lindsay were there visiting their son Harmon, who is manager of the sanitarium. At Los Angeles, I spoke to a large congregation in the Carr Street Church, and at San Fernando to the students and teachers, and to church members who had gathered in and filled the chapel. A few days ago, an incomplete letter to you was found, which I will now finish up and send without further delay. I have read your letters in regard to your proposed move to Marshall, Michigan. This seems to be a rather strange proposition. I sincerely hope that you will move wisely. I am sorry to have you so far away, and am perplexed to see you in any way connected with Frank Belden and the Battle Creek Sanitarium. I think if you and Emma would come to Loma Linda and give that place a trial, you would find you could be a blessing to the workers there, and they would be a blessing to you. I have been very desirous to see you and Emma, and sometimes I fear that I shall not see you again. I am comfortably situated here by the sanitarium. Why should not you and Emma visit us? We would be pleased if you could do this. For several weeks, I took treatment with the X-ray for the black spot that was on my forehead. In all, I took 23 treatments, and these succeeded in entirely removing the mark. For this, I am very grateful. One subject upon which I dwelt particularly while at Loma Linda was the importance of having lady physicians to attend women in cases of confinement. I showed that in our institutions men must be trained to treat men and women to care for women. And in those cases to which I have referred, we should be careful to have the help of lady physicians rather than men. We have come to a time in our experience when decided changes should be made in this matter. As a people, we need greater faith in the Word of God. Individually, we need a work done for us by the Holy Spirit. All who are engaged in the ministry of the gospel need to learn of Christ, his meekness and lowliness of heart. Then they can testify to the power of Christ as the great restorer. Christ was the great medical missionary. Read in the second chapter of Mark and the fifth chapter of Luke the record of his works for the spiritual and physical needs of those who sought his help. There are precious lessons to be learned from a study of Christ's ministry of healing. I would say to you, Edson, find your place in the work of God. Medical missionaries are needed everywhere to do the work that Christ did while he was on the earth. To each of his appointed agencies, the Lord says, "Take your place at the post of duty, and stand firmly and labor patiently for the righteousness of Christ to be revealed." The enriching light that comes from God's eternal throne will be imparted to those who seek to reveal to needy souls the principles of righteousness. We need more heavenly grace, and this grace Christ imparts to all who seek for it. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30.
It is the Lord's desire that renewed efforts shall be put forth in many places, and small plants be established. A work is to be done that is to open the way for the advancement of the truth, and that will increase the faith of souls. The world is the Lord's vineyard, but he has been strangely shut out. Now he requires that the vineyard receive special attention. The work we are called to do in giving the light is expressed in the words of the Savior's commission. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. There are many fields to be worked, and calculations should not be made to plant many large interests in a few favored localities. The Lord has instructed me that we are not to make many large centers, for in every field there should be facilities for the successful carrying on of the work. For this reason, a few large institutions should not be allowed to exhaust all the income of means. In small and large cities, and in settlements that lie outside the cities, there should be maintained small centers where faithful watchmen are stationed who will labor for souls. Wherever the missionary worker goes, there should follow his efforts the establishment of some small plant, that the advance of the work may be hastened. When God's servants do their work faithfully, Providence will open the way for these facilities in many places. In the highways and the byways, efforts are to be put forth. We are not developing the work according to the best plans. We should plan to divide and subdivide our working forces, that we may work new fields. Then, on special occasions, the workers can come together for counsel and spiritual help. In spirit, Christ's missionary work embraced the world, and the words of his commission point out our field. Right where you are, right where the people are, let earnest effort be put forth. The word of God has been, as it were, hid under a bushel. That word must be explained to those who are now in ignorance of its requirements. Search the scriptures with those who are willing to be taught. The work may be small in its beginning, but others will unite to carry it forward. And as in faith and dependence on God, earnest labor is put forth to enlighten and instruct the people in the simple truths of the word, those who listen will catch the meaning of true discipleship. In the colored people and the foreigners now in this country, there is brought to our doors a great foreign field, a broad and almost unworked field. These people, because of their ignorance of God and their unconsciousness of their great need, should appeal strongly to us to take up the work of teaching. Can any of us express as it deserves the greatness of God's gift to our world? We cannot. But we can tell those who know him not of the love that sent his only begotten Son into the world to bear the chastisement for man's sin. We can testify that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, and that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3, verse 16 and 17.